May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In 1959, there was a movie called The Mummy. Now you may have all seen the 1932 version, which I'm sure you have, with Boris Karloff. But this one actually has Christopher Lee as the mummy and Peter Cushing as the doctor there. And it was from the studio, Hammer Horror Studios. I've preached about Hammer Horror before. But the way the movie opens is that it shows this beautiful, picturesque, very pastoral landscape of the English countryside. And it pans across. And all of a sudden, it lands on this lunatic asylum. And within the lunatic asylum is a man who is convinced that the mummy is going to come and kill him. And everybody's trying to convince him otherwise, but it is actually true because it's a Hammer Horror film. And what these Hammer Horror movies do is they are expressing something. It's actually very that there actually there's actually some very powerful social and psychological commentary going on in these Hammer Horror movies. And in 1959, the British Empire was sort of waning, and the directors sort of saw the waning of the British Empire as being a progressive assault on British masculinity and sort of inadequacy and powerlessness and resentment and these sorts of things. And so the idea was you need to see what is actually happening in your society. And what happens in the movie is that the mummy actually comes and he kills the people who don't believe in it. But the people who do believe in him fare better. So that's the lesson of the mummy. Be aware of yourself. Be aware of your society. You know, we're moving into something new here, and it is a commentary on the unconscious. This is what the mummy is about, the unconscious, the things that arise out of men and women unbeknownst to them, and they have consequences. And in order to survive, you need to have a sober sense of reality. Now, this is what Jesus gives us in Mark 7. He gives us a clear and sober picture of reality with respect to the human condition. He says in verses 21 through 22, "For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, etc." So what we're talking about is from the heart, not the mind. It comes from the heart. So we have both conscious and unconscious transgression against the law of love. And I think I have Total Eclipse. You remember that song from the 80s, Total Eclipse? You have a total eclipse of the heart. In other words, this sin has given you a total eclipse of the heart. And it emanates, it manifests unconsciously and consciously. So denying the unconscious cauldron inside of us is like denying the existence of the mummy. It's going to take its revenge. So, you know, the Wall Street Journal, there's a Wall Street Journal article this summer about business executives. And what they were saying in the article was, you need to watch out for what you don't see in yourself. You know, you are acting in such a way, or you are giving off such a vibe, that it is hindering your progress in business, in the company, and whatever it is. And you need to be aware of what you're not aware of. You need to understand that there's a lot of things about yourself that you don't understand. And they recommend a 360-degree review, if you've ever heard of this. So lots of input on how one comports oneself in an organization. A couple of years ago, I was personally with a friend of mine who's a recovering alcoholic, and we were talking about the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and we were talking about the steps of taking inventory. And he was talking about taking inventory, and he was talking about his wife, and he was talking about his friends, and he was talking about his business partners, and how much resentment he had built up inside of him towards these people, towards his parents. And I thought to myself, I went through all the people in my mind, and I said, oh my gosh, I have incredible resentment. It just took that. It took that to get me to look inside of myself. I wasn't aware. But I looked at that and I said, oh my gosh, there was something about myself that I did not understand that emanates from my heart, and it manifests itself in unloving. So, think about your own sort of recidivism that always pops up. You know, perhaps your son has graduated from college, and he's progressively moving farther and farther away from you geographically. Why? Why is he moving farther and farther away from me geographically? I don't understand this. Well, that's the point. You don't understand this. Maybe it's you consistently struggle in work. You consistently struggle in your ability to get your work done or to get along with people. There's something going on that you're not aware of, is what I'm trying to say. Now, what can be done about it? What can be done about this thing that is emanating from our hearts, that we this unconscious sort of thing that is sort of wrecking our lives? Well, don't we need to fix it? Now, that's a very American idea. That's where my mind went immediately. Well, I need to fix it because I'm an American, and we have a very optimistic stance on our ability to fix things. But you know, especially ourselves, we think we can fix ourselves, but it's impossible. It's impossible. One theologian said, the gouty foot laughs at your doctoring. The gouty foot laughs at your doctoring. And there it is. You see, if you try to overwhelm it with virtue, if you try to overwhelm what Jesus is talking about in the heart with virtue, you are fighting fire with straw. You are, because what happens is the virtue that you try to implant in yourself gets impregnated with the whims of the heart. And then it sort of manifests itself in self-righteousness, in pride, and all the things that, you know, the last part of the list that Jesus gave us. So it's impossible. You cannot fix yourself. Now, another thing you can do, maybe, is you can deny it. And we talked about that. The mummy is going to get you. The mummy will get you if you try to deny it. And it's not happening. Or, you know, we could do like like when we were in college or when we were in our 20s, and we could medicate it and absorb those additional consequences. You remember those? Or, and I think this is what Jesus was getting at, we can confess it. We can confess it. We can confess what we know, and we can confess what we don't know. You know, we can confess to God, you know what? I don't know the half of it. I don't know the half of what is going on inside of myself. I know a little bit of it, but I don't know the half of it. And I present myself before you. And the thing about Jesus is, the funny thing about Jesus is that he has this very pessimistic view of the human condition. He has a very pessimistic view of the human heart. And he has a very high and unyielding and uncompromising view of what God's law demands of us. And yet, he is totally welcoming to lawbreakers. He is totally welcoming to the outcast. Totally, he identifies himself as an identity. He identifies himself with the outcast. When he's eating, oh, there's another slide. when he's eating with people in that context, in that historical context, he's actually saying, I'm with these people. He's not like going and getting lunch at McDonald's. He's actually making a statement by eating with sinners and tax collectors. So how is this possible? How is it possible that we have a pessimistic view of the human condition, A. We have a total and unyielding view of God's law and what it demands. And we can be totally welcoming to lawbreakers, to people who don't know what's going on inside of themselves, to people who consistently self-destruct. How can that be possible? Because on the cross, Jesus Christ drank the dregs of the law. He drank the dregs of the wrath of the law for us. And therefore, we can say, as Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. The end of the accusation of the law. So we can know God in our brokenness, in our unconscious brokenness, in our conscious brokenness. We can know God, and we can come before Him with no fear, because Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the accusation. And so, what quiets the heart? And I'm getting this is powerful, because what quiets the heart? It's not mastery. Do not try to master one-way love. It is one-way love. This is the reason Jesus identifies Himself, and he allows Himself to be crucified, and he absorbs the wrath of the law. It is one-way love. That's what grace is. Grace is one-way love. And what that does is it melts the heart. It melts the heart. Now, think about this in your life. Think about this in your real life, be it with somebody that you are engaged to, a spouse that you have. At some point, a friend, a parent, a coach, at some point, something came out about you that was alienating, that was something you didn't want anybody to know came out about you with this person. And this person did not turn away. This person embraced you in your alienating characteristic, whatever it was. Now, did that incite your heart to hate? Did that incite your heart to rebellion and resentment when that happened? Of course not. It melted your heart. It melted your heart. And you were able to love from your heart that person then. Well, it's the same way with God. It's the same way with our Lord Jesus Christ. The one-way love of the gospel, and it is one-way love of the gospel, melts our hearts. And it stills our discontented and troubled heart, our unconscious, and it quiets it. That is the solution. And that is the solution offered by the Bible. And it is the solution offered by Jesus Christ as He offers Himself on the cross for us on our behalf. Amen.